NST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road for my birthday on Friday. I'm having a Fadley's cake. Might wind up having 5 crab cakes on Friday, the 14th. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We've been letting ourselves play, giving away some Raven scratch-offs. Our friends at Goodwill getting you ready for Halloween. I'm somewhere between Ziggy Stardust and Aladdin Sane. I'm not sure, but I'm going to be doing it at Goodwill for my Halloween shopping. And, of course, our friends at Window Nation putting in my windows. Give me a little fresh air here this time of year. We got all sorts of things going on, including rock and roll. Those of you know of my Raven experience of being thrown out of the football world, the rock and roll world is still alive with tribute bands. And my dear friend Paul Manna threw together the Trifecta Festival a couple weeks ago. Success, lots of people, beautiful weather, beautiful people, great music, great food. Beer trucks, beer. Did I mention beer? Food trucks, beer trucks, all sorts of things. And just so many great bands. And this was the band that I was the most interested in seeing through the course of the day because the reputation sort of precedes them. I thought the Unforgettable Fire was unbelievable. And I got to meet Tony. I think he's going to come on the program at some point, talk about this Bono spoken word thing that I'm going to Canada for in a couple of weeks. But I'm an old school REM fan. I didn't realize how much I liked the Smiths until I saw the Smiths band, Caligula Blushed as well. And they did a fantastic tribute to Moz and others. But the REM band came, delivered, didn't know anything about them. They started talking all this Bills-ish in the middle of their set. It had nothing to do with Georgia or Between the Hedges or Athens. But the band's actually a New York-based band, I believe. I'm about to meet the lead singer of the band. He did a great job making things happen. And apparently not even a Bills fan, a Giants fan. Hence, we put him forth this week so I could tell him all about Super Bowl 35 and how much fun I had in Tampa, kicking a Giants ass like my father did in 58 and 59. But I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to be nice. Chris Sancherico, I thought Carrico, and the actual pronunciation is somewhere in Olean, New York, where I once had an ex-girlfriend, and singing the songs of REM and coming back to Vienna, Virginia on the 15th of December. Dude, you guys were great. Let me just say that. You guys were fantastic. I've seen all sorts of tribute bands, as good as any. And I said to my wife, if I can't go see the real REM, I want to go see you guys again. So I'm planning the 15th to come together. I don't know if the Giants or Ravens are going to make nice this weekend, but it is nice to have you aboard. You guys kicked it at Timonium a couple weeks ago, man.
Well, thank you very much. It was, like you said, it was just a spectacular day. Perfect weather, good food, good beer, and good people. It was great.
Well, I mean, I played in an 80s tribute band. We did like Ridgemont High. We did a whole bunch of different things. That was 20 years ago. My wife was the Yoko Ono of the band. I was in a band. I know what it's like to lug equipment. I know what it's like to get on airplanes to go to football games. And, you know, after the gig, eating at Denny's at 3 o'clock in the morning or Waffle House or wherever, depending on where you are. To be in it at this point and to do it as well as you guys do it, as well as any of the Zeppelin bands do it, or my friends in Several Species do Pink Floyd, and I love having all of you on, or even my dear friend John Allen, whose band is Stone Horses are playing for 98 Rock on Thursday night this week. Getting out and playing music, you get to be a little older. You're not going to go around the world and be on Led Zeppelin's plane or anything like that. But when you love a band and you've loved them for 30 years and it's clear your dedication to the craft of what you guys do, I just think it's a wonderful thing. And I think it needs to be spotlighted and talked about. And every time I see a band like you, I think of the garage you're practicing in, the kids you're leaving at home, the places you're doing to come and do this and celebrate a little bit. I think it's a joyous thing because the real bands can't get together and do it anymore, except for like U2 and Pearl Jam and a couple other ones.
Yeah. Right.
So for you, give me the genesis, like doing this and getting out and loving music and taking a band out and playing the music of REM. It has to start with, well, I was in college and there was beer and girls, right?
Well, for me personally, I was 15 years old and I had moved to a new city. That was into Albany, New York, and, you know, didn't have any friends. It was awkward starting freshman year of high school and, you know, going through all those trials and tribulations that age. And I remember coming into my bedroom and I heard Losing My Religion on TV. It was MTV I was watching, and it caught my ear, you know, immediately and piqued my interest. And I can remember looking around my bedroom door and seeing Michael Stipe, you know, doing his cool dancing during Losing My Religion. And for me, that was the trap door that really, you know, I fell into, and I became obsessed with REM. You know, my room became a shrine to REM. And I
how old were you?
I was 15.
So you came late. I mean, REM, you came in late. Okay, fair enough.
Right.
Yeah. They were like a sensation by the time you found them.
Well, with Losing Our Religion, that was pretty much the one that really made them worldwide.
But they were Warner Brothers at that point. They left the original label. And I mean, they were an indie band of mine in 84 and 85 and 86. In those years, the document wasn't there yet. I was more of a Life's Rich Pageant was the one that really moved me. But prior to that, I was familiar with Murmur and all that. So you had to sort of back catalog this, right?
Exactly.
Well, that must have been a nice, like, onboarding in the way that I onboarded Zeppelin, right? I found Zeppelin in Through the Outdoor in 1980. My God, right? Oh, I had to go backwards because I was born a little later into that than Deep Purple and Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix, right? The Doors, all that came before me. I think it is so generational, though. But it's a gateway to other things, I think. For that era, when I think of REM, I think of the Smithereens. I think of like all of these sort of college bands that I grabbed onto at that time in my life. And I guess that's what's so joyous is to be out on a beautiful day. You guys are recreating this music really impeccably, I must say. And how long has the band been together? Like, tell me about the band, because all of you finding each other and finding this music and making it, I don't want to say, I don't think you're feeding your families off this, but it's a nice gig for you. And maybe at some point it becomes something that's the only thing you do, or maybe it is the only thing you do at this point. But it's a tough thing to do to be this good at doing the music of any band, I think.
Well, you know, we all met back in 2014. The drummer, Scott, is the one who put it all together. He put out Craigslist ads and Facebook, you know, ads looking for members, people who wanted to possibly join an REM band. And I went to the House of Guitars, which is a famous music store up in Rochester, New York, one day with my girlfriend. And there was a poster on the wall, you know, one of those homemade posters saying, looking for REM tribute members, you know, call if interested. And I'm pretty sure it had the little pull tabs on there, you know, each pull tab had the number on it to call. And I must have passed it three or four times while I was perusing the store.
Were you in a band at that time or no?
Yeah, I was in a band locally. But that's more just, you know, we do a lot of Grateful Dead and Tom Petty and a lot of blues stuff. And it's more of a jam band.
Right? Literally, right?
Yeah. So anyways, I eventually took one of the numbers and I called them and we had one practice, me and Scott and Chuck. Chuck's the bass player. And then the guitarist at that time was a guy named Andrew, who's no longer in the band. But we hit it off right away. Definitely, it sounded good, you know, and, you know, it felt good. And we've been doing it since 2014. And I think the really good thing about the band is that everyone in this band loves REM. It's really their, if not their favorite, they're up there, you know, top three bands. So there's a real passion and a real knowledge for the REM music all the way back, you know, from Chronic Town all the way through. So, and that makes a difference, you know, because I know a lot of tribute bands. Some of the guys are brilliant musicians, but they're not, you know, they weren't really moved by the music, say, at a younger age or whatnot.
Well, it's a lifetime of love. Talking about the passion, the REM tribute band is called Dead Letter Office. If you are familiar with the band, you know it's sort of their album full of really cool covers and Driver Eights and, weird sort of, the inspiration for covering the songs, doing them well, and then how deep into a catalog you'd want to go.
Right.
I saw you guys are doing a show in Milwaukee where you're like doing the document album, right? So, you know, can you do most of the songs can you do the phone book of REM?
we're getting there. You know, a lot of the stuff, once Bill Berry left in 96, 97, it gets more difficult because they really, REM kind of got more experimental and stretched things out, and really in some ways got more complicated too in their songwriting. So, you know, we tend to focus on the IRS stuff. That's just what we're all really passionate about. But, you know, we've been bringing in more of the later stuff as of late, which is nice and it's fun.
His name is Chris Sankarico. I want to make sure I'm pronouncing that right. He is with the Dead Letter Office. They played over at the Trifecta Food Truck Festival, and I'm hoping Paul does it again and brings together great, great bands, regional bands, not just local bands. We have one of the great Pink Floyd bands here in Several Species. Obviously, Kirk McEwen's band doing those Tom Petty songs. They do such a great job. I've seen Kirk's band probably a dozen times over the last couple of years, and he really fell into an interesting thing after singing in other classic rock bands. Okay, so the December 15th, anybody wants to go see the gig, it's at Jam in Java. I've gone down there to see my buddy Mark Bryan play from Hootie and the Blowfish. He's going to be playing out Frederick. Mark's coming on the show next week, so I'm looking forward to catching up with some Hootie talk, and I'll beat him up about the Commanders a little bit. Chris and I are going to get after it with the Giants and the Ravens as well. Doors open at 6:30. It's the 15th of December. If you love REM, I'm in the endorsement business right now with the election season, so I'm endorsing Heather Mazier, trying to get her elected here in one so we can clean the place up a little bit. Endorsing a rock and roll band. So, dude, I was a music critic at the Evening Sun from 1986 to 1992. And during that period of time, every CD would come to my door. Every music label would call me and try to get me to review their album, come see their band. Their band was the next great thing. In some cases, when the call came from the Red Hot Chili Peppers and they put Flea and Kiedis on the phone with me, they turned out to be the next big band. When it was the Black Crowes and I had Chris Robinson on the phone with his fighting brother Rich, they went up the Live, those guys, huge band right out of here, Hershey, Pennsylvania. So I was on some bands. I saw Smashing Pumpkins with like 10 people at Max's on Broadway. I still tell these tales, but I saw a million other bands that didn't make it, bands that should have made it, like Jellyfish, just great, great, great bands that didn't happen. But REM was one of those bands. Bands. And I got to know Peter Buck a little bit enough to like have his number, have a drink in Athens, kind of sort of. He used to come in with Kevin Kinney from Driving and Crying. They were really close, yeah. And they used to do gigs. Peter Buck would just show up when they were the biggest band in the world in the back room at Max's on Broadway having a beer and playing jangly guitar, right? So, but my favorite REM story, I got two, was I saw them at the Smith Center on Life's Rich Pageant, and that was just an unbelievable show at George Washington University when they were coming into their own before they started playing the Capitol Center and, you know, doing Orange Crush and doing all that stuff. But when they hit it big, they did a mountain stage show that you can still Google. It was on a church. It was in a church, a former church that's turned into Mountain Stage. It's in Charleston, West Virginia. It's been going on 50 years, a lot of bluegrass, a lot of hill music, a lot of Appalachia, a lot of country, you know, over the course of time, but accessible pop. I think the Bodines played there and some of those kind of bands were doing that in the late 80s. But they played there when they were the biggest band in the world and because they loved it and they wanted to do it. And I got the music critic sort of red carpet thing where I stayed at, drove to Charleston, stayed in the Marriott, ran into Michael Stipe in the gift shop and whatnot, knew Peter a little bit, never really bothered Mike Mills, but I got to see them do this really, really intimate, and they Losing My Religion was the song then. It was 6 months old, still like the biggest song in the world, and seeing the mandolin roll out and seeing them in that environment, I was much harder for me when they started playing hockey rinks and the music changed a little bit from what. And I like, I mean, Rush changed 20 times and whatnot, but that band for me was sort of pre-jumped the shark and seeing them. I never saw them in a bar. I never saw them in the 40 Watt Club or any of that. I wasn't into Reckoning Murmur in that early on, but I feel like I got in on them pretty early on. And they were one of those bands that Rolling Stone discovered. They were the band that sort of jumped the shark to some degree, right? To your point, you're like, we play the eye. There's like three kinds of REM, which really speaks to the kind of artists they were, right? And I think they're underappreciated. I don't think they're talked about enough.
No. It's criminal, really. A lot of people I meet, you know, they'll know the Warner Brothers stuff. They'll know Losing My Religion, and then they'll stand and everybody hurts, or they'll judge them even harshly based on shiny, happy people. But, you know,
that's their Mr. Roboto.
Right, exactly. Right, 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 right. But before all that, yeah, the IRS stuff, you're talking, you know, as far as full albums go, you got Murmur, Reckoning, Fables of the Reconstruction, Life's Rich Pageant, and Document. Those five albums are, they're all amazing. And it's just incredible how good they were for so long. Right, without being mainstream. So, yeah, there's a lot of underappreciation there. You talk about the Smiths. Now, they're a band that broke up after, their third full-length studio album, or maybe fourth. And I think because of that, they have, like, a cult-like status, you know, still. And I think REM deserves that sort of a recognition as well.
Well, I mean, when you go out and play for audiences at this point, trying to bring the music back together, when you do these festivals and see other bands into the Smiths, into Pink Floyd, into whatever, yeah. Heart, Queen, there's a almost Queen bands playing the 100.7 event. It's an interesting genre that didn't exist 20 years ago because the real bands were around. But when the bands stick together, I was in California about 5 years ago before I was actually in San Diego. I'm wearing my Padres gear. I got family out in San Diego, so I'm supporting my friend Freddie Yulman. And hey, the Padres never get the win, so let them win, please. Maybe this time. I'm busting it out. But there was a House of Blues in downtown. I was there alone. I was out there seeing the Ravens and Lamar play in that Carson, California game right after the Chargers left San Diego to play in that soccer joint for about 5 minutes. Yeah. And I'm in downtown San Diego, had a free night, and there was a tribute night, and it was a New Order tribute band, Depeche Mode, Billy Idol. It was along that line. You guys would certainly have fit in on that, but here I am 3,000 miles away from home. So I saw a Depeche Mode tribute band that was just outrageously good. They called the Violators, named the band. And they wound up playing here in Baltimore Soundstage, and I had their dude on and talked to him about the singers from New York. I mean, the bands that put these things together, like Journey going to Philippines and getting a real singer, you guys in putting a band together and holding it together and loving an artist, then you get to come to Trifecta or whatever festival it is. It feels like you're on the beginning of something. I mean, it does feel like, I said to my wife, these guys are going to be able to do this for the next 10 years, make nice money, have a boatload of fun, and do what you always wanted to do, which is be in a band that where you play music, people really are – that you're lighting up a room. I think that's why musicians want to be musicians, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, the magic of you know, maybe it's REM's music really lends to this too, is that communal experience between the band and the fans and the audience, you know, where it's not just happening on stage, but it's happening in the whole venue, you know, the whole room, and it's everybody's there and everybody's celebrating. And it's great because we're celebrating REM's music. So, you know, we're a conduit, you know, we feel like a conduit for just that the joy and the mystery that REM was able to, you know, weave into their music magic, so to say. So,
well, I discovered you on the internet, if you can believe that. Okay. So back in the late spring, early summer, I got an invitation from Jim Irsay, a former Baltimorean who is a, you know, clearly you're a football fan, you're a Giants fan, you understand what the Irsay connection is. I've gotten to know Jim over the course of my adulthood in many ways through my sports work. He was doing a mental health awareness and a charity, you know, and kicking the stigma of mental health and being able to talk openly about mental health. So he's thrown this event. Now, I don't know if you know about him, but he collects all of this stuff, right? Yeah. Like amazing artifacts, Hunter S. Thompson's car, guitars from every Jimmy Page and every Kurt Cobain's guitar that he wrote, Smells Like Teen Spirit. So he has all of these amazing artifacts, Americana artifacts, and sort of pop culture artifacts, and he tours them. It's a Jim Irsay collection. So anybody just tuning in because you love the band or you find us on a search in REM or you're annoyed by the guy in the Padres jersey who's done sports radio in Baltimore for 31 years. So Jim Irsay and his folks invite me up to New York for this gig, right? And I knew about the band and I knew there were elements of Mellencamp, and I sort of knew Mike Mills was in it, and I sort of knew Kenny Wayne Shepherd was a part of it, and Kenny Aronoff's beating on the drums, right? Because he was in the Bodines. Yeah. And I didn't know Michael Ramos was in it, who was also a Bodine for a long time and lives in Austin, and he owes me a conversation, so I'm looking for you, Ramos. Same thing with Kurt Newman from the Bodines. So I'm chasing some rock stars around through all of this, through all the years that I've loved music. And I went up to New York without my wife. It was just me. She was staying home with the cat. And I was going to see Robert Plant play out at Flushing, unbelievable, Forest Hills. The old tennis stadium is a concert facility. Okay. Unbelievable venue, right? So I'm in the city, the Earth Day event. I go in, I'm dressed nice, whatever. They're auction, 100 grand for this. It's high-end thing. New York was very nice. It was a cocktail party. I dressed nice. I tried to fit in. Let my hair down. Let my rock and roll hair. And so the band comes on, and there's Mike Mills, and there's Kenny Wayne Shepherd, and there's Aronoff. And the featured singer that night was Natalie Merchant from your part of the world. You're in Olean, Western New York. So she didn't do like a whole lot of Trouble Me, but she was doing a little 10,000, but more of her solo stuff.
Yeah.
Five songs in, I'm enjoying some Natalie Merchant. She's sort of admonishing the crowd because no one's paying attention, right? And I'm up front. I got my free cocktail before my hangover. Nice cocktail event. And there's Mike Mills, and I'm into it. And nobody cares much, right, about the band. They're just playing. And, oh, I remember that one. That's a cute one. That's Natalie Merchant. That's cool. They stopped everything, and all of a sudden, Mike gets up and is like, we're going to do a couple of ours now. Boom. They went into Don't Go Back to Rockville. I move from 30 feet away to 2 feet away, turn my camera on, and it's, looking at your watch at the time, waiting, and it's just the most rocking effing thing. I mean, my heart was pounding, right? And I'm like, I forgot how much I love the music, okay? Yeah. They did Superman, and they did Rockville Superman, and Kenny Wayne did a couple. It's Mellencamp's band. Jim Irsay did Lawyers, Guns, and Money, and a couple of covers, and a Petty cover, and it was a beautiful night.
Yeah.
But seeing and hearing that music, somehow I put a video up of REM of that because it was amazing. I mean, Mills sounded like Stipe. It was like channely crazy, right? Crazy channely. I'm 3 feet away from Mike. I shot video, shook his hand afterwards, said hello, fist bump. I'd love to have him come talk Braves with me, especially right about now. Mm-hmm. But it was so amazing. And then I'm like, I know they're not playing. I know they're not a band. I know they're not a thing. And then you popped up. And it wasn't even a Facebook thing. It was like, I know there's a tribute band. And Dead Letter Office is an album that I've had and loved for years and years and years. And I saw you and I started watching the videos. I'm like, these cats are good. And then I'm like, I wonder if they're playing here. And then I realized you were on the trifecta thing. So I hit Manna way out on it. And I said, these guys are playing at 1. My ass is going to be in a lawn chair at 12:30. And I walked in on the Smiths, and they were unbelievable. Caligula blushed. Please go see them. They're playing a bunch of gigs with you guys. I know in Charlotte and in Raleigh and some other gigs. They were phenomenal. Blew me away for how good they were. And then you guys were just great. So I'm not here to kiss your ass. Your band's great. The music's great and all that stuff. But the way you find music for me, I walked into a gig, a charity gig, where the real Mike Mills blew me away with 2 songs. And I'm like, God, I love REM. And God, I wish I could go experience that again in some way. And you guys brought that back to life. Man and I were jamming in the pit. He came over. He's like, he knew how good you guys were going to be. And we were like, you guys were freaking good. And here you are. And it turns out you're a Giants fan, which I'm disappointed about. We'll get to that in a minute. It's a long week for that. But for you guys to get this good at it, how much do you rehearse? And I guess over the course of almost a decade of being professional musicians, but the music took to me. And then I heard you guys do Rockville, and you really did channel the experience that I had in New York. And it brought a smile to my face the way music only can, the way an experience with music can.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Thank you. That's nice of you. And that's what we hope to do, just like you said, channel that music and channel that joy to the crowd and the audience. So rehearsal, early on we would rehearse, maybe twice a month. It's hard because we're Buffalo and Rochester about an hour apart. And then down here in Olean, where me and the guitar player Matt live, that's about 2 hours from Rochester. So
I fell in love in Geneseo once, so I'm keenly aware of those highways.
Okay. All right. All right.
And their impassability in the winter months.
Oh, man. And that's another reason, you know, for not wanting to travel. So, you know, we put the work in, but we started getting lots of gigs. And, you know, we would use maybe a sound check to do run through a new song. Because, you know, again, we're all such fans of REM that we have it in us already. So it was pretty easy to kind of whip out some new songs here and there. I mean, not they would get better the more we played them, obviously, at shows. But so, you know, we get rehearsals in if we have a good break in our scheduling. But for the most part, we're pretty booked. And, you know, most of us in the band do work full-time jobs right now. Otherwise, so.
Well, you guys have been endorsed by the band as well, right? So I've seen the video, so I need to hear your celebrity stories other than I had an hors d'oeuvre with Mike Mills once in New York at a party. Right. But, you know, all these years later, I love doing the show and I love bringing different kinds of people on to tell different kinds of stories. But when I looked – my entryway, my gateway to you was like literally that New York thing that led to however these devices work that serve something that knows I'm an REM fan that sort of gets me to you. The first thing you're like is, hey, Buck got on stage with them and Mills got on stage. It looked like you guys were like sort of surprised. And now tell me if it was staged or green roomed in any way, but give me the stories about when the real guys show up because there's just nothing cooler than that, you know?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, starting with Peter Buck, that happened in June of 2019 in San Francisco at Comedy Central event called Clusterfest. And no, we had no idea. We had no idea that was going to be the case, that he was going to be there.
Well, you didn't think it's him in San Francisco, right?
What's that?
Did he live in San Francisco now or was there any?
No,
there was no reason to know. Okay.
No, he was actually on tour with, I think, the Baseball Project at the time. And he was in maybe Minneapolis, I believe, at that time.
Okay.
So we really had no idea and didn't think that was going to be the case. We were invited out there by Scott Aukerman and Adam Scott. You know, Scott Aukerman's a comedy writer and Adam Scott is an actor. He was in Parks and Recreation.
And you were there to entertain people that would love the music of REM, right? Literally, right?
Yeah. Scott and Adam were doing a podcast called Are You Talking REM with Me? And that had been running for maybe a year. And they were asked to put on a performance of their podcast at Clusterfest. So they were kind of worried, you know, what are we going to do? Just two guys talking about REM in front of 8,500 people. So they reached out to Scott. I think Scott, the drummer for the band, might have thrown like a Twitter comment out there like, hey, you guys ever looking for an REM tribute band? Let us know. So that's how they found out about us. And they started watching our videos and they thought we were pretty good. So they invited us out there for this big event. And so we were the house band or their performance.
That's a gig. I want to come to that event. That's a convention I want to attend, you know?
Yeah, it was great. It was great. It was just amazing. I brought my older son with me and, you know, we all got the artist wristband. So we had backstage and all access and we were rubbing shoulders with Fred Armisen and some of the guys from The Office. And we got to be on stage, side stage to watch the Roots play, which was really neat. So anyways, we get up there on stage and we're doing our thing and playing Radio Free Europe. And, you know, Scott and Adam come out and they had told us beforehand there was going to be a special guest. But Scott told me personally that it was going to be him. He was going to get the crowd all worked up. And then in the end, he was going to be, and it's me, I'm playing guitar with the band. So, and all, you know, so that was our thinking. So all the surprise you see in that video is real. We were shocked that Peter Buck came out of the wings with his Rickenbacker in his hand.
So were you set up or how did he wind up there?
On stage or?
Yeah, they brought him in to play with you?
Oh, yes. So they were planning with him also on the side, keeping it a secret from us. They were planning with him.
So he knew about you then?
He knew there was going to be a tribute band. Yes. And they asked him if that'd be okay. And he, I don't know if he watched videos or whatever, but he said, that's cool. And he knew what songs he wanted to do with us too. So we did Sitting Still and South Central Rain. And yeah, it was incredible, incredible experience.
Well,
incredible.
I mean, if you watch the video, I said to my wife, I said, these guys got ambushed. Like, this isn't set up, because I followed Yacht Rock. They've played here for years and stuff. And oft times, you know, Robbie Dupree will find them on the road and do Steal Away, you know, and it's fun and it's cool and it's awesome because they're so good too. Yacht Rock Review is unbelievable band. I mean, they're playing like Wolf Trap now. They're playing like 10,000 seat places, right? Wow. Because they're so good at it. But the, you know, Daryl Hall or John Oates will go find them and, you know, do Private Eyes with them or whatever, right? But yeah. You guys looked shocked at that. Now, there's also Mike Mills. Is that correct?
Yeah. So that was a year earlier. That was in Buffalo, New York. We knew he was going to be in town. He was at Kleinahan's Music Hall in downtown Buffalo doing his Mike Mills Concerto, which consisted of some R.E.M. songs.
Yeah, he did that with the Atlanta Symphony last week, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So what we did was we planned to have an after party gig, you know, and we booked a bar venue real close by at Kleinahan's. And the guitar players that we had at the time, his name was Paul, his ex-wife was the director or manager of events at Kleinahan's Music Hall. So she put the worm in Mike Mills' ear, you know, that, hey, these guys are playing. Maybe you should go check him out, you know? So lo and behold, he did. He came to the show right after his show. He came over to the bar venue we were playing at. And we knew he was there because it was a pretty good sized room and it was packed full of people. But the murmurs, no pun intended, came running up through the crowd that Mike Mills was here, you know? So here we are performing for a good like hour and a half, knowing he was in the audience somewhere in the back, you know? So that was amazing. And then we're playing Man on the Moon. And during the last chorus, he walks up on stage and does his backup vocal part. And it was just, it was a beauty. He's such a great singer, you know, beautiful singer.
Oh, man. I mean, voice of an angel, literally, right?
Right. And it just was like, you know, it was amazing. I still can't believe either of those two things happened. Those were just amazing experiences. And they're really nice guys, just really cool. Down to earth guys.
Well, legendarily, right? I mean, you know, I could tell you Peter Buck stories from 30 years ago about his kindness and being a cool dude. And I haven't run into him in last time I ran into him was in Vancouver in 06 when the police got together. He was in seats in front of me. And it was 16 years ago. But Mike Mills, I talked to him briefly. I mean, he's very, very sporty and very out there. And just, I mean, they're legendarily good guys. And then there's Stipe, who's sort of legendarily reclusive. And I was in the Atlanta airport, you know, the big tunnels that are beneath the earth that you take these. And he was passing through one day, but that's, I have two Stipe stories, one in a gift shop. I nodded, he nodded, and one at the airport. I would be intimidated to go talk to Michael Stipe, I think.
Yeah.
Weird me out a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Probably weird him out.
Well, you know, there was a drummer from a Smiths band in New York City called the Sons and Heirs. I don't think they're together anymore. But we had played with them a few times in Brooklyn and at Gramercy Theater and Bowery Ballroom in New York City. And he lived in the same building as Michael Stipe at the time. This is about 4 years ago. And according to him, he showed Michael Stipe our videos, and Stipe said, well, thankfully, I'm not singing those songs anymore.
so you own it. It's all yours now. Huh?
I guess so.
Chris Sancarico is the singer for an R.E.M. tribute band. It's just fantastic. If you love the music of R.E.M., Dead Letter Off is a tribute to R.E.M. I'm having him on this week because of the Giants game. But if you find this December the 15th, they're playing down at Jam and Java in Vienna and a bunch of other places. You can find them. Just Google them. They're easy to find. REMtribute.net. As well as this Dead Letter Office. And all right, so to the Giants and the Ravens, you're a Giants fan. Why? Because you're upstate New York. I mean, but not a Bills fan, or just because you don't like to lose Super Bowls? So like, no.
No. Like I said earlier, I was born in Albany, New York. So that's Giant territory out there in the eastern side of the state. And my dad was able to get us season tickets from 1985 to 1992.
Oh, so you had the glory years. My boy LT was doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was amazing. So here I am, 10 years old, watching Bill Parcells coach, right, Phil Sims, Lawrence Taylor.
That's taking you down 87, down the internet, 2 hours to the Meadowlands every other Sunday, right? Yeah, Winds blowing in that tunnel. Parcells, open the tunnel. The Eagles got a good kicker. We want to make sure that doesn't work, right? I remember all that. Tom Landry had a little hat back then for you. But you had Jimmy Johnson, too, in that period, right?
Oh, yeah, for the Cowboys. Sure.
So the Colts walked out of here on March 28th, 1984. I already referenced Jim Irsay. When the Colts left here, my buddy Russ Letra in Dundalk said, I'm going to get Eagles season tickets. And I was an Oiler fan. So to this day, still Oiler fan. I liked good laundry, like this Padres gear. So I wound up going to Eagles games, 86, 7, 8, 9, 90, 91. So that's all the Randall Cunningham years. That was the Parcells era. Obviously all of that was going on right around then. So I remember all that football, man. That was good. So you're really cut your teeth on some serious NFC, pounded out, grinded out, Bears. I mean, even the Washington team was relevant back then.
Oh, sure. Mark Ripken came in there. They had all those wide receivers. They won the Super Bowl, the one after the Giants, actually, 1991, 92.
That was my first Super Bowl, man. That was the first one I went to, the one in Minneapolis.
Oh, okay.
Thurman Thomas is still looking for his helmet, but I have a ticket stub. So, that was good times there. So your Giants fandom comes real honest then.
Oh, yeah. I bleed Giant Blue. I love them. They're, and this year so far, they're 4-1. That's a surprise. They've got – the new coach is wonderful, Brian Daboll from Buffalo, actually. He was the offensive coordinator.
All the best things are from Buffalo. Just ask anybody from Buffalo.
There you go. And they're in a rebuilding year, I suppose, but they're overachieving. But not, in some ways they're achieving because, Saquon Barkley is a wonderful, maybe the best running back in the league, and they have a lot of defensive players that are fantastic. So, with the smart coaching, they're winning games and they're playing smart. Daniel Jones, the quarterback, I've always liked him. I thought he was fantastic. He just has been a victim of poor offensive line play and injured wide receivers. So
I think the best part of being a Giants fan at this point in the universe would be watching Eli and Peyton get after it on Monday night, sir. They're during ESPN2. I mean, Eli's obviously the legend and replacing that. Hey, man, sorry what we did to you guys 20 years. I mean, I'm really not. I mean, that was one of the great days of my young life. I bust out the ring and the books and all the fun, but I just want to come see your band again. So listen, whether the Ravens win or lose against the Giants, we're still going to be friends, and I'm going to come down to jam with some Java and probably a couple cocktails as well on December the 15th down in Vienna. I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys. Full set, right? I mean, you guys were only doing about 45 minutes, maybe an hour of music when you guys were here for Trifecta. I a whole night of you guys would be pretty cool, right? You guys do a couple hours.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, and we'll dig deep, too. At the Trifecta Festival, I think we stuck to most of the more popular songs, the hits.
So I have a chance of getting Swan Hummingbird out of you guys or Disturbance at the Heron House or some of that kind of stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What if we give it away? No?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's we're doing that one this Saturday in Rochester. Our drummer, it's his birthday, and he's picked the whole set list. So he's got that one on there. So.
Dude, when I say to you, standing on the shoulders of giants leaves me cold. So that's my Giants love for you. I didn't even come up. This came off the top of my head because I'm going through songs that I love. I'm a Life Rich pageant guy. So the night that you guys recreate that and bring that back to life in its entirety, let me know. And you got to get Superman in there at the end, even though it wasn't credited, right?
Oh, yeah. We always play that one. The crowd always loves that song.
Well, hey, man, appreciate you. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your band. The energy that you guys brought that day was fantastic. Looking forward to seeing you guys again. Keep the band together. Don't let Yoko come in there and mess it all up. All right.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you so much.
You got it. Chris Sancarico joins us. He's the singer from Dead Letter Office. If you're an REM fan, you'll love them. You can go check out the band, the tour, the videos, the bookings, and all the cool stories of Mike Mills and Peter Buck ambushing their tribute band to all things. As my mother would say, REM, I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking rock and roll, indie rock, indie radio, and BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.